You're in trouble. Wait until your dad gets home. Now you've done it. Have you ever heard those words from a parent? Of course not. You were all perfectly behaved children, right? No? Well, a question for today. What happens if those words are coming to us from God? Well, like maybe not the wait until your dad gets home line, but what happens when God says to us, you're in trouble? Let's pray. Lord, take my lips and speak through them. Take our minds and think through them, and take our hearts and set them on fire with your love. Amen. When my Noah was 5 or 6 years old, I'm pretty sure kindergarten, but it could have been first grade, he came home from school one day with a report card that said something that he perceived as negative. To be totally honest, neither Cheryl nor I can remember today what it said. But we both remember thinking at the time that it really wasn't a big deal. What we both do remember vividly, though, is that when he got home that day, he put it in the back of the closet, kind of as though it had accidentally fallen out of his backpack or something, although he never put his backpack there. And he was bright enough to hide it, so I'm not sure why he didn't think that we wouldn't eventually find it there. A few days later, Cheryl indeed found this report card. I can laugh now, but I can tell you we were not laughing at the time. Let's just say the consequences of hiding said report card were much greater than the consequences would have been for whatever that report card had said. Now, in Noah's defense, this is a hereditary defense mechanism in my family to report card issues. His uncle, my brother, did the same thing, cutting off the bottom of his report card to hide it from my parents. I think my brother was actually a little older, though. Note to kids, don't do this. But I think about this desire to hide from the consequences of our actions, and I wonder, is this less true for us as adults? Let's think about this. Do we sometimes hide things we've done from those we love, those who would hold us accountable when we know we've messed up? Do we put off saying, I'm sorry, or speaking with someone who is angry because we know we've made a mistake? Do we look at the problems of the world and ask how we are connected, or do we disconnect ourselves from responsibility? Are we willing to face that sometimes we've been part of the problems in our world and not the solutions, or is it really kind of just easier to avoid any thought of our responsibility? In this sermon series, we're in the rest of this month called Tough Love. We're looking at the prophets of the Old Testament. And one role of the prophet is to point out the sins and the pain of the world and to show what the consequences are of the action or inaction of the people of God. Right, take Jeremiah. This is from chapter 8, and a warning, what I'm about to read wasn't easy to hear for the people to whom Jeremiah spoke, nor is it really any easier for us to hear today. This is actually from Eugene Peterson's The Message translation, which kind of puts Jeremiah's words in the language today. It says this, "Tell them this, God's message. Do people fall down and not get up? Or take the wrong road and then just keep going? So why does this people go backward and just keep on going backward? They stubbornly hold on to their illusions, refuse to change direction. I listened carefully, but heard not so much as a whisper. No one expressed one word of regret. Not a single I'm sorry did I hear. They just kept at it, blindly and stupidly, banging their heads against a brick wall. Cranes know when it's time to move south for the winter, and robins and warblers and bluebirds know when it's time to come back again. But my people? My people know nothing, not the first thing of God and his rule. How can you say we know the score? We're the proud owners of God's revelation. Look where it's gotten you, stuck in illusion. Your religion experts have taken you for a ride. You know-it-alls will be unmasked, caught, and shown up for what they are. Look at them. They know everything but God's word. Do you call that knowing? So here's what will happen to the know-it-alls. I'll make them wifeless and homeless. Everyone's after the dishonest dollar, little people and big people alike, prophets and priests and everyone in between twist words and doctor truth. My dear daughter, my people, broken, shattered. And yet they put on band-aids saying, it's not so bad, you'll be just fine. But things are not just fine. Do you suppose they are embarrassed over this outrage? Not really. They have no shame. They don't even know how to blush. There's no hope for them. They've hit bottom and there's no getting up. As far as I'm concerned, they're finished. God has spoken. Jeremiah's words, right? Turning away from God's love, refusing to admit anything is wrong, pursuing selfish gain, refusing to claim any responsibility for the state of the world around them, pursuing wealth at the expense of others, doctoring the truth, minimizing the pain of the people who are hurting the most. This is what Jeremiah is called to share. Fun job, huh? Right? Because the prophet's role is to share God's disappointment and pain at the injustice and sin of the world and to point to the consequences. And the reality is the signs of the prophet point out that in many ways they're obvious, right? Systems of leadership are broken. People are suffering. People are crying out to God. The consequences are right there. They're imminent. The nation is coming apart. It won't be able to defend itself because there's no shared vision of hope and goodness. And the question is, will the people of God see? Will they face the truth? Will they see how they are all connected with all of God's people? And will they face the consequences? Or are they just going to avoid responsibility and say, it's on someone else? You know, what we see is an interesting part of human psychology. We tend to see what we're looking for and miss other details. In fact, there's this great study by Trafton Drew. He's a researcher on the topic of attention from the Harvard Medical School. He was curious about this phenomenon of what we see, and so he did this study where radiologists were asked to study lung scans to find evidence of lung cancer. They were given this image of the lungs and asked to study it. And here is the amazing part of this study. It isn't easy to see, but if you look really closely at the scan the team used in research, you'll find a little gorilla in the right-hand corner of the image. The radiologists were so focused on looking for cancer that 83% of them missed the gorilla, didn't even see it, right? 83% of these experts didn't see what was right there the whole time. The prophet of the Old Testament knew that many were so focused on their own agenda that they would miss seeing anything else, the gorilla. Many are so focused on keeping themselves comfortable that they would miss the consequences on others in God's kingdom. Our eyes are trained to see what will support our worldview, our success, our individual accomplishments. What do we see, though, if we look more closely at our world today? What do we see if we let the prophets help us see what God sees? And here, we need to notice something very, really important. Don't miss this. The reason to see what God sees, the purpose of the prophet's words from God is not to induce guilt. The purpose of seeing is repentance and forgiveness and restoration. And let me just emphasize this. The purpose of the prophet in pointing out the brokenness and injustice, naming and facing the consequences, is not to induce guilt. The purpose is to encourage turning back to God, experiencing God's forgiveness, and participating in restoration and what God wants. We can actually see this in the prophet Isaiah. If you have a Bible handy, take a look with me at chapter 30, beginning in verse 8. Isaiah has just shared that the people of God have made a mistake, turning to Egypt for help instead of trusting God. And now God says this through Isaiah. It says, go now, write it on a tablet for them. Inscribe it on a scroll that for the days to come, it may be an everlasting witness. For these are rebellious people, deceitful children, children unwilling to listen to the Lord's instruction. They say to the seers, see no more visions, and to the prophets, give us no more visions of what is right. tell us pleasant things, prophecy illusions. Leave this way, get out of this path, and stop confronting us with the Holy One of Israel. Right, like Jeremiah, Isaiah, he addresses a people who don't want to look at the brokenness. They don't want to face the consequences. They don't want anybody to point this out to them. And then Isaiah goes on. He says, therefore, this is what the Holy One of Israel says. Because you have rejected this message, relied on oppression and depended on deceit, this sin will become for you like a high wall cracked and bulging that collapses suddenly in an instant. It will break in pieces like pottery, shattered so mercilessly that among its pieces, not a fragment will be found for taking coals from a hearth or scooping water out of a cistern. You can't keep hiding from the consequences, God tells them through Isaiah. If you do, everything will shatter in such tiny pieces that nothing will be left of any worth. It's what happens when we just keep hiding. And then Isaiah goes on. He says, this is what the Sovereign Lord, the Holy One of Israel says. In repentance and rest is your salvation. In quietness and trust is your strength. But you would have none of it. You said, no, we will flee on horses. Therefore, you will flee. You said, we will ride off on swift horses. Therefore, your pursuers will be swift. 1,000 will flee at the threat of one. At the threat of 5, you will all flee away till you are left like a flagstaff on a mountaintop, like a banner on a hill. Yet the Lord longs to be gracious to you. Therefore, he will rise up to show you compassion. For the Lord is a God of justice. Blessed are those who wait for him. People of Zion who live in Jerusalem, you will weep no more. How gracious he will be when you cry for help. As soon as he hears, he will answer you. Although the Lord gives you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, your teachers will be hidden no more. With your own eyes, you will see them. Whether you turn to the right or turn to the left, your ears will hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way. Walk in it. The reason to see the gorilla, the reason to see the sin and the pain, the reason to face the consequences is that God longs to be gracious to us. God wants to show us compassion and a way forward. God wants us to turn to Jesus, accept his forgiveness, and follow, to see a way forward. See, followers of Jesus know and accept the consequences of sin while seeking forgiveness. Think back to when we're kids, right? And we've done something. We want to avoid the pain of the consequences. So maybe we lie so the problem remains hidden, but then we have to lie to cover up the lie. Or maybe we just ignore the problem, but the thing when we ignore the problem is it grows. All the while, guilt just eats away at our soul. But with a loving parent, we learn that ignoring the problem and avoiding the consequences more often than not makes things worse. We figure out that the path to wholeness is facing the truth and confessing and accepting the consequences and then learning and living into a better future. When we confess to parents or anyone, it doesn't mean there won't be consequences. But with that loving parent, we realize that that doesn't change the love. And forgiveness means that the sins and the mistakes, they don't have to define us or define our future. In fact, the consequences from our parents or from the world, they can teach us and lead us into a better future. As adults, we still want to avoid the pain and the discomfort and the injustice in our personal and communal lives. But as we learned as kids, the problems, they just don't go away. The path to wholeness is facing the truth, confessing, accepting the consequences, and learning and living into a better future. And there will be consequences. We can see them in the world around us right now, but God is gracious. God is full of compassion. God invites us to turn back to him. And the forgiveness of Jesus Christ means that the sins and mistakes, they don't have to define us. That's why followers of Jesus know and accept the consequences of sin while seeking forgiveness. And in that forgiveness, right, we find the way to a better tomorrow together. So here's this week's FaithFit challenge. Every day for the next week, I'm invited to take time to answer two questions. Set these questions by your bedside or somewhere where you'll see them each evening. We can just spend a little bit of time with God. And the first question is this: in what ways have I hurt others, hurt myself, or ignored God today? And the second question: when did I fail to do the good or right thing when I should have today? And then after you've answered the questions, which is really an act of confession, I want to invite you to pray this prayer. Every day, pray, "Merciful God, I confess that I have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what I have done and what I have left undone. I've not loved you with my whole heart. I've not loved my neighbors as myself. I justly deserve your judgment. For my sake and the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on me. Forgive me, renew me, and lead me, so I may delight in your will and walk in your ways that lead to glory." Amen. And as you pray in this week ahead, know that in Jesus you are forgiven. In Jesus you'll find the way to wholeness and goodness. Tori Yoder joined our staff, gosh, it will almost be a year ago. We're going to be coming up on a year ago as our Director of Family Ministries. And I love one of the ways that she teaches or invites us to think about how we see the world and how we see our own actions in the world is to ask a really simple question, which is, did my actions today draw me and others closer to Jesus, or did it drive others away from Jesus? As you pray through these two questions every day, and as you pray this prayer, right, the underlying question becomes, are we seeing with God's eyes and drawing people to Jesus? Or are we trying to impose our own will in our own way and driving people away from Jesus? May we, as individuals, as church, as a community, may we face the consequences, know God's forgiveness in Jesus Christ, and then walk in the way of Jesus Christ, which invites others to experience and know his love and grace.